I'm going to read to you a word of Scripture, a couple of them actually. One way back in the Old Testament, the great prophet Isaiah, God speaking through the prophet, had this to say, "And I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness, secret riches. I will do this so you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, the one who calls you by name." And then we fast forward to the New Testament, and we find the Apostle Paul saying these words, "So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord." You ever think you're not making much of a difference? You've got a goal that you set, you're trying to accomplish it, you're chopping and chopping and chopping at the tree, but it never seems to fall down, and you don't feel like you're making much of a difference. Maybe it's relationally, maybe it's at work, could be in any different environment in your life. We had a phrase where I grew up in Louisiana, probably unrecognizable to the intelligent world, but nonetheless, we had this phrase called chlorinating the ocean. That's what we used to say. You ever heard of that term, chlorinating the ocean? What that means is you're dealing with a problem that's so big that ultimately it's futile. There's nothing you can really do about it. You can try and try and try to chlorinate the ocean, but you're never going to get to the end. It's an infinite road. There is no end game. You just keep with the struggle. You ever feel like you're chlorinating the ocean? You ever had so much debt? You thought just by lobbing 10 bucks a month was never going to do anything towards it at all. You were chlorinating the ocean. You ever had marriage troubles and you went to counseling and counseling and counseling and you tried this and that, but you know, you just threw up your hands and you thought, "I'm not making a difference. This isn't getting better. We might as well be chlorinating the ocean." Sometimes you have tried to be exceptional in your parenthood, but your kids go prodigal and you feel like you're chlorinating the ocean. It never seems to end. I get emotional every time I stand in my driveway and I watch my children go off to college. And I always think I haven't done enough, that what I've done hasn't mattered, that parenting never ends. It's chlorinating the ocean. And I feel it not just personally at home, but I feel it at the church. I mean, this is an institutional issue to me, one of our five pillars of ministry. One of the five things that are non-negotiably done around here. When we wake up, we think if we don't do anything else but these five, we're going to do these with excellence. One of those is fighting poverty in the name of Christ. Do you know that was one of the five pillars of your church? We wake up every day and think, how do we fight poverty? Its root causes, its impact, everything about it. How do we do that in the name of Christ? And I will tell you, I go to bed more times than not thinking that we are chlorinating the ocean. You try this, you try that, and you wake up, and the impoverished are still everywhere. I don't know about you, but I got a lot of days where I think what I do, it doesn't matter. It's just not that much of an impact. And so if you're here this morning, if you're watching online, I came this morning to talk to you, to tell you if you think you're chlorinating the ocean, if you think that what you do doesn't matter, you're just wrong. What you do really matters. There is somebody somewhere today in this moment whose life has been transformed by something that you've done, something that you've given, something you've said, a prayer that you lifted up, a note that you wrote, a phone call that you made. Somewhere, somebody right now's life has been transformed by Christ through you. And here's how I know that. If you can't think of that moment and you can't think of that person, let me just tell you, if you're part of this church, lives have been transformed because of your participation. Somewhere, somebody, in this community, this congregation, this city, this nation, this world, somewhere today, God is literally transforming lives using you, using me, using this church. And there are people out there discovering hope and peace and joy and love, all these things that we symbolize with this Advent candle. If you are part of this church, you are making a difference. And here's how I know that. I love that passage that I just shared with you, the one from Thessalonians. You go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and you take a hard right, you keep going, you're going to find a bunch of letters written by a guy named Paul. Paul at one time hated Christians. He had them persecuted. He had them put to death. But he came into a relationship with Jesus, the Christ, his Messiah, changed his life. He went from persecutor to church planner, the most successful church planter in the history of the world. He starts planting churches all over the Near East, all over the Mideast, all the way ultimately into Europe. And he had this one town that he was really committed to planting a church in called Thessalonica. And it was not an insignificant town because of its geographic location. It was highly strategic. And Paul knew if we can spread Christianity in Thessalonica, given where it's located geographically, given the volume of imports and exports that come both from the East and the West, if we can spread Christianity in Thessalonica, we can make this thing stick. We can make a huge difference. It can literally go from this little narrow part of the world all over the known planet. The scripture tells us Paul began to launch Christianity in Thessalonica. He preached a minimum of 3 Sabbaths. We know that. At least 3 Sundays he showed up and delivered a message. And what we know is through the Holy Spirit, Paul's work took off. And everybody was buying in. And the church was growing. It was exploding with prosperity. So much so that the Thessalonican Jews at the time became enraged. They were so frustrated at what they thought was an off-brand, a tainted brand of Judaism, was spreading like wildfire. They didn't know what to do, so they were very hostile to Paul, and it got almost violent, and they threatened Paul's life. They tried to send a posse to arrest him, and so Paul had to be shuttled with some friends out of town. And so overnight, Paul goes from being at the epicenter of all this church growth, and then he leaves town, he's separated from his congregation, and you know what he thinks? I'm not sure what I've been doing matters. That's what Paul thinks. You know, I've been preaching and doing and leading, and it seemed like it was working, but I don't know if what we did there really sticks. And a lot of it had to do with his separation physically from his congregation. And when I read that, I just feel for that. I empathize. I sympathize. All of our clergy do, because in March, we had to shut the walls down, and suddenly we didn't have anybody in worship. I mean, we were online, but let me tell you, Sunday after Sunday, Dr. Fiedler and I and the musicians came in here, and you know who it was? It was me and a camera. That's it. Not one person in these pews. Not one. Massive separation, gap between leadership in the church and the congregation. And you know what I thought? I wonder if anything we've done up to now matters. I couldn't see you all. I didn't know what was going on in the life and the ministry of this church. I had no idea, do we have an impact or do we not? And you think about this dynamic, because strategically, I've always thought Highland Park, United Methodist Church, I mean, come on, if ever there was an influential part of the community, if we could make Christianity stick here at 3300 Mockingbird, if we could make it stick here with all of our resources and all of our provision, do you know the impact that we could have? But when we shut it down, I didn't know. And to shut it down, statistically, let me just give you some numbers. Historically, 90% of all of our ministry happens inside the walls of this infrastructure. Millions of dollars worth of infrastructure on this acreage. 90% Sunday school happens here. Youth ministry happens here. Children's ministry happens here. Choir rehearsal happens here. Worship happens here. 90% of the people we reach are here. 10% are out there, maybe tuning in online, maybe listening to a CD. And overnight, it inverted. Overnight, it inverted. Now 90% of our ministry, there's only about 10% of you here in this sanctuary, 90% of all of our ministry happens out there. We don't see it. We don't know if it's working or not. 10% happens right here. Can you imagine if a 90-10 inversion happened at a hospital? If a hospital with all of its infrastructure and all of its tools and assets for healing were suddenly unavailable, how successful would that transition be? That's where we felt as a church. That's where Paul was. He separated from his church in Thessalonica, and he doesn't know if what he did even mattered. So he gets a little antsy, he gets anxious. He sends a buddy of his, colleague in ministry named Timothy. He says, go back to Thessalonica. You can sneak in under the cover of darkness. You're not going to be noticed like I am. And tell me what's going on. Find out if what we've done matters, if we're at all making a difference, or are we just chlorinating the ocean? So Timothy scuttles on into Thessalonica. He comes back and he brings not bad news, but good news. And he gives Paul this recap and this story about all the great things that are going on. And it infuses Paul with a sense of joy. And isn't that awesome? On the Sunday where we light the candle of joy, Paul is electrified with the news that Timothy brings back. He's so fixed with joy. He sits down, he jots out a very emotional letter. And we have that letter. And I just want to read to you the setup for what I just read to you a moment ago. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, this is Paul, when we could stand it no longer, so much persecution, we decided to stay alone in Athens. And we sent Timothy to visit you. He is our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. We sent Timothy to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you, I love this, from being shaken by the troubles that you're going through. But you know that we're destined for such troubles, right? Your mama told you there'd be days like these. Maybe not a full-on global pandemic, but we kind of know intuitively one of these days the world's going to get pretty dark. And so Timothy goes in there and he tries to encourage him and lift him up. And now Paul's written this letter and he says, but you know that we're destined for such troubles. We told you they would come. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would come. And they did, as you well know. That's why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. That's the preface of Paul's letter. He says, I'm confessing, I wondered many a night if we were chlorinating the ocean. I think that what we did probably wasn't as effective as we thought it was, and our work may have been useless. But then it pivots. This is so beautiful. Verse 6, but now, I love it when the scripture says, but now, I mean something great is about to happen. But now, Timothy has just returned, bringing us not bad news of how much we failed, but good news about your faith and love. He reports that you always remember our visit with joy and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you. So we have been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters. And I love this. Go to your Bible today sometime, write this down. Because you have remained strong in your faith. And Paul says, we sent Timothy in to encourage you. It didn't work like that. Timothy came back, and because of all that you're doing, where we can't even see you, we've been encouraged. We've been made to live again because you were strong in your faith. Have you ever been propped up, not because of your faith, but because of the faith of someone around you? I mean, come on, haven't you ever been lifted up, not because you were so faithful, but because somebody in your life was faithful? That's what Paul's talking about here. I've been there. You've been there. I got that phone call that said, Paul, you got Parkinson's. I responded to that. I got so many letters saying, Paul, wow, your faith is so encouraging. I thought it wasn't my faith. I was terrified. I was shallow. It was my wife's faith. It was Ashley's faith. She remained strong in her faith in the midst of my troubles, and it propped me up. That's exactly what Paul is saying. Timothy comes back, and because they were strong in their faith, while the world is hurting, you remain strong in your faith. And I am telling you, when you make up your mind to serve Jesus the Christ, as the hands and the feet of Jesus, your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, all that, great things happen. And people's lives are transformed, and people are encouraged, and people are propped up, not always because of their own faith, but because of yours. And so today, all I want to do is, in a very short time, I want to celebrate that with you. I want to celebrate the reality that your faith has remained strong. For the 90% of you that are watching online, your faith has made strong. Your faith has been resilient. Your faith has not quit. You've continued to participate. And you know what? I'm encouraged by that. Why? Because I'm reminded that you're making a difference. Paul says, I'm so blessed because of your faith. And you say, okay, well, what does that give us? If someone else is faithful, what does that give us? He answers the question in verse 8. You know what it gives us? It says right here, it gives us new life. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank and bless God for you. And here it is, there's three words again. Don't miss these. Because of you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Do you know that right now, there are people all over this city praising God because of you? You know that, right? You know that not only just this city, but all over this nation, there are literally people in every state that thank God because of Highland Park United Methodist Church. The body of Christ, you, because of you. Not just the nation. Do you know that all over the globe, all over to the furthest reaches of the planet Earth, there are people thanking and praising God because of you. And because of you, because of this body of Christ, they have a great joy. They've been transformed. Their lives are different. Their families are changed. They've got hope. Their dreams have been given daylight. Why? That's because of you. So I want to remind you of that today, and I want to share this with you. We put together a little video that I think maybe can give you some pictures about some of what I'm talking about because of you. Take a look at this.
2020 was a year unlike any other. But with your generosity, HPUMC impacted thousands of lives, providing light in the darkness and sharing the love of Christ in our community and around the world. Through it all, you have been a big church with a big heart. 4 homes were built with Habitat for Humanity. Mortgage relief was provided for 19 families impacted by COVID-19. Reverend Paul Rasmussen accompanied 12 Dallas youth on a civil rights trip. The cities included Jackson, Montgomery, Selma, and Atlanta. 11 of these young people were seniors who are currently attending college due to your generosity. Over 5,600 patients were treated at the clinic in Haiti. More than 300,000 meals were distributed to families, children, seniors, and frontline workers in Dallas. And over 700 of you helped distribute those meals and help with COVID relief in other ways. At drive-thru day, 2 box trucks were filled with donations, including children's books, non-perishable food items, cleaning products, masks, and gloves, as well as over $15,000 worth of gift cards and donations. ...150 neighbors were fed each week through church at the square. Over 1,000 patients were helped from HPUMC blood drives. All 500 students at KB Polk Elementary were blessed with school supplies, literacy resources, and a beautified campus. Groceries were distributed to families at Wesley Rankin, Christ Foundry, and the Wilkinson Center. Our first virtual mission trip raised $6,000 for the children at the Hogar Metodista Orphanage in Costa Rica. 60 nonprofit leaders attended our first ever virtual outreach partner summit and discussed how we can work together to make a greater impact on poverty in Dallas. As always, you continue to fight poverty and bless the community, the city of Dallas, and the world. But our partners are still counting on us. There's still work to be done. Let's end well this Christmas season to impact the lives of the neglected, the underserved, and the impoverished everywhere.
That is something to celebrate. What that is in the 9 months when I haven't been able to see you and you haven't been able to see me, you've made a difference. Because you remain strong in your faith, people all over are on their knees giving thanks and praise to God. And I see this video and I always get emotional. I get kind of worked up watching about it, thinking, whoa, this is unbelievable. And I'm reminded of one of my favorite passages. It's in the Old Testament. The prophet Isaiah, speaking on behalf of God, says this: I will give you treasures hidden in the darkness. I love hidden in the darkness. Sometimes that's where you find the best treasures. He was talking to the Israelites who had been overrun and exiled because of the Babylonians, and now they kind of turned the corner and they were starting to go back home to their original place of worship. And God intervenes and says, you know what? Don't miss the treasures hidden in the darkness. They're everywhere. And we know historically that the Israelites, upon returning to Israel, found all of these treasures that had literally been buried in the dark earth by those who had come before them. And every time they get it gave them new encouragement. It gave them new life. And I think about us. I think about the hope in unexpected places that we all can find if we're just willing to look for those treasures in the darkness. And I think about the painful places of suffering that are everywhere in our community, not just out there, but in here. In your hearts, those places of suffering. And I'm telling you, God is giving us treasures hidden in the darkness. And it's the local church's job to sift them out. That's the power of the local church. Let me just give you some more examples of what we just saw in the video. Did you know because of you, 300,000 people ate and received nourishment in the last 9 months that otherwise would have gone without a meal on the day that we showed up? 150 of our homeless neighbors, brothers and sisters, eat every single Sunday a meal that they would otherwise go without were it not because of you. Four houses, don't miss that, four rooftops, warm rooftops went over the homes of someone previously homeless. We did not stop working through Habitat for Humanity. You've remained strong in your faith. We've kept the commitment. We've soldiered on, and people are being housed. 19 other families received mortgage relief who had gone belly up because of the pandemic. All 500 students at Polk Elementary received literacy resources and school supplies. Why? Because of you. I hope you didn't miss this. 11 students that I was privileged and blessed to join on a civil rights pilgrimage all throughout the Southeast, 11 of them are being funded to attend college. Do you know why? It's because of you. They've been given new life because you have remained strong in your faith. We thought we didn't would lose everyone that participates in worship with us when we had to shut the doors. Do you know that we've just grown in the people that watch now and participate in Highland Park Methodist Church online? That's a treasure hidden in the darkness. It's unbelievable to me how far and vast we're reaching people. I had a couple last week. This last week, I preached the 8:30 service in here. I went up to my office afterwards. Dr. Fiedler came running up after me and said, Paul, I know you want some quiet time in your office, but there's a couple here that really wants to meet you. And I thought, oh, I'd rather, okay. And I mean, what's the deal? Give me some context. He said, well, they're from Minnesota, and they showed up in an RV, which terrified me beyond description, right? I don't know anybody from Minnesota. I certainly don't know anybody from Minnesota that drives an RV. And yet they were here in our parking lot. I said, okay, I came down. It was the best thing ever. One guy's name was Pete. His wife's name was Lisa. What are you doing here? We came down in an RV. Why are you in an RV? Well, we're redoing our house, and we wanted to get out for a while, so we got an RV. We loaded up. We went down to Omaha. We spent some time with our children. Then we came straight to Dallas because we wanted to worship here. Why'd you want to worship here? Because we have been watching online every Sunday with almost minimal exception for 8 years. This is our church. We participate in the body of this church every single week, and we had an opportunity to come worship in person. You think I wasn't overwhelmed by that? That's a treasure in the darkness. We're reaching people all over. We just built a dormitory for 93 students at Africa University. More than 3,000 people in our Belong ministry for disabilities participate with us online through their programs. In Haiti, please don't miss this. In Petaguave, Haiti, one of the poorest places on the planet Earth, the government has closed down all healthcare delivery systems. The government has shut down all medical clinics. But did you hear the stat? 5,600 people have received medical care over the last 9 months. Why? Because the only remaining open medical clinic in Petaguave is the one that you started, the one that you fund. It's the only place in Petaguave that's giving people medical. Why? They're given new life because you have remained strong in your faith. Now, I know it's a lot of numbers. Come on. It's a lot of data. It's hard to make sense of the data, but let me just encourage you. Behind every one of those numbers, there's a person. There's a child of God. There is part of God's creation, a human being. There is a story. There is a life. These aren't numbers. These are lives. These are dreams being given new life. These are lives being saved. This is a life with no hope that now has new hope. These are broken families made whole. These are single moms, provision with hope that she can go on. Over and over, we see these thousands of people who would not have eaten were nourished because of you. Is the world dark? Sure it is. But there are so many treasures hidden in the darkness, and it is the local church's privilege to sift them out. So I just wanted to take a minute today. That's it. It's the only goal. I wanted to celebrate the ministry called Highland Park United Methodist Church. And to know that when I sat at home thinking, I don't know if anything we're doing makes a lick of difference, we're probably just chlorinating the ocean. When I hear your stories and I get the data from our outreach and I get the data from our youth ministry and I get the data from Belong, what I recognize is, wow, I'm not encouraging you all, you're encouraging me because you've remained strong in your faith. And that's what I want this church to be, to always be a treasure, not so hidden in the darkness. And that people can come here with their fears and their addictions and their shame and their failures and their guilt and their mistakes, and they will leave out feeling redeemed and encouraged and inspired, and we're not going to beat them up with the Bible, and we're not going to make people feel punitive and guilty. We're going to tell them about the greatest treasure ever hidden in the darkness, the gift we call grace, the gift we celebrate at Christmas. This is such an unbelievable privilege of stewardship to be part of this church. So I just want to thank you. And if you're here today, there are always some. You don't need to feel guilty. Some of you have been sitting it out and you've been consuming all that the church has done. That's okay. We're going to keep providing. You can consume all you want. But I'm telling you, don't miss out on an opportunity. I just want to invite you, just step into the river of the flow of this church and try to sift out as many treasures in the darkness as you can for the world around you. And it is unbelievable how fast and how quickly the darkness begins to flee. So stay with it. Know how grateful that I am, how all of our clergy are. This church is a unifying force in the city of Dallas. When everyone else gets divisive, we bind. When everybody struggles, we heal. When we are surrounded by conflict, we provide a source of comfort. And we stay unified in our mission to make people become deeply devoted followers of Christ. And as we step into whatever it is that we call a new normal, as we come out of this pandemic, which we one day will, we, Highland Park United Methodist Church, will lead the way in making sure that the new norm is full of treasures that were previously hidden in the darkness. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise. It is an unbelievable privilege to be part of the body of Christ that you call Highland Park United Methodist Church. Lord, as a pastor, I'm privileged to be a shepherd. Lord, I so often get to ask people for things. Today, Lord, I just wanted to thank you, give you all the praise, and I wanted to thank the members of this church and let them know how much encouragement they've given me by remaining strong in their faith. So, Lord, I hope they will feel that, internalize it, and be ignited to continue to be strong in their faith, knowing that people all over this world give you thanks and praise because of the work you do through this church. Amen.